I was putting the dress on Srimati Radharani, and something wonderful happened. I remembered then that Ghanashyam Baba told me that I should be the pujari at New Vrindavan. So for 11 years, I was not allowed to come to India. Because in those days, devotees were really in a sense of surrender, and they were very duty-bound in the way they rendered their service. We would never, ever, ever act outside of authority or blessings. So for 11 years, I remained there, worshipping the deities. And after I was given sannyas, actually I didn't want to take sannyas. But the leader of New Vrindavan, Kirtanananda Maharaj, I would be always talking about Vrindavan. Because in those days, nobody had ever been to India, except a few devotees. When I was in London, in Berry Place, I had this old, thin, it was one of those wool gray chatters, but it was really an old one. Some sadhu wore it for years and gave it to me. And I had it on when I was in London. And the devotees in Berry Place were gathering around me. Because they said, "That's just like Prabhupada's chatter." They had never seen a chatter except on Srila Prabhupada. And me, they were saying, "Where did you get that? That's just like Prabhupada's chatter. We have never seen any." So I said, "Sadhu gave it to me in Vrindavan." "Vrindavan, you have been to Vrindavan." So people would be very interested to know what is Vrindavan. We read about it in the Krishna book, but what is it like today? So when I came to New Vrindavan, only the leader had been to Vrindavan. Nobody else had ever been. So everyone would want to know about Vrindavan. And after I would tell them, everyone wanted to go. So Kirtanananda Maharaj made a rule that I was not allowed to speak about Vrindavan. Well, that rule was very, very difficult to follow. Sometimes devotees would come way up to that old mountain farmhouse where the temple was of Radha Vrindavanath, and it would just be me and them. It would be after the offerings and the aartis. And between, they'd say, "Tell me about Vrindavan." And I'd start telling them about the places of Govardhan and the places of Vrindavan and the places of Nandagang and Barasana. I'd start telling them about Brijabasis and start telling them about different sadhus I would know here and telling them about my meetings with Prabhupada here. And then they'd start telling everybody. And the temple president would say, because I was a brahmachari, they'd say, "Radhanath is in Maya." They say, "He wakes up at 1 a.m. and chants all rounds and works all day. Why is he in Maya?" "Because he's talking about Vrindavan." Then he'd come all the way up. "I told you not to talk about Vrindavan. You're agitating the community." One day he said, "Prabhupada said New Vrindavan is not different than Vrindavan, so you just talk about New Vrindavan." So when he was trying to convince me And he would say, I will never, ever in your life let you go back to Vrindavan, because I know if you go, you'll never come back. So he was trying to convince me to take sannyas in 1982. And I was refusing. He was pushing and pressurizing, and he had the whole community on a... He preached to the whole community to not give me any peace of mind till I took sannyas. So everyone would be harassing me. So finally, he said to me, if you take sannyas, I'll let you visit Vrindavan. But I still refused. Finally, it was too much. I had to surrender. And after I surrendered, I decided I want to be unconditional. I knew I had to do it anyway. I said, well, but I still get to go to Vrindavan. Yes. So 11 years later, 1983, I returned to Vrindavan. First time. I remember I came to Gaur Purnima, the first time I ever went to Gaur Purnima festival in Mayapur.
What year was it?
83. Because when I was living in India, I don't even think they had the land in Mayapur yet. So then I took a train from Calcutta to Delhi, and I took the Taj Express to Mathura. And I decided to go according to my old tradition. I went to Vishramghat, took bath, and then walked along the Jamuna from Mathura to Vrindavan. But things really changed at that time. There's a lot of obstructions in that walk if you try to do it today. So I came to Vrindavan, and I'll never forget. This is 11 years later. You know, at Radhabalabha temple, there's the old temple and there's the new temple where the deities were at. Well, that old temple is right very close to Ghanisham Baba's house. So I came and I happened to see Ghanisham sitting on the steps outside the old temple. And now he was 11 years older. He was in his late 80s or 90s. I don't know. And he looked at me. When I lived in Vrindavan, I wore these simple white lungi that was kind of torn up, and I had a little chadar, and I had long matted hair, and I never shaved. Because I was young, it didn't make that much difference, but I never shaved. And now here I am, a sannyasi with a danda, with shaved head. So he was looking at me, and he was old, he was just looking at me. Because one great sadhu living in Vrindavan had given me, when I was living here, the name Ratin Krishnadas. I never got initiated, but he gave it out of affection. So Ghanisham always called me Ratin. That means Krishna, the chariot driver of Arjuna. So he looked at me, and he was just looking. And I bowed down to him. And I got up, and he was just looking. And then he said, like a father to a long-lost son, he said, Ratin. And then he started to weep, he started to cry, and he embraced me. And he said, Radha Gopijana Vallabha has been waiting so long to see you. And he took me by the hand and brought me into that same little hallway where the closet was. And he started taking off the jewelry of the deities and giving it to me. saying Radharani wants. Radharani wants you to have this. He's giving me rotis. And I came that night from Krishna Balaram temple, secretly. I secretly left Krishna Balaram temple that night to help him put Gopijana Ballabha into the bed. 11 years later. I even brought a couple god brothers to the temple. And he was just taking off. He was just giving them whatever he could give them, he would give them. Bow down to each Vaishnava. Then the next time I came, to the door and I walked in. And I walked into that little temple. There was no Gopijana Ballabha. There was no Ghanashyam. So I asked the family members, Ghanashyam, Ghanashyam. And the person just, with tears in their eyes, smiling, they said, Goloka. He had He was so old. But he knew that if he were to die, there'd be nobody to take care of the deities. Because that family had nothing to do with the deity worship. They were just working people and like that. So even though he was really aged and in poor health, he just lived to take care of the deities. So my understanding, because for many years I was asking people, where is Gopijana Ballabha? Nobody knew. Even that family didn't know. Then I met one very dear brother and friend named Asim Krishna Das Prabhu, who during the time I lived in Vrindavan, we would go together to see Ghanashyam Baba. And he told me that the temple, what he told me is this, that Ghanashyam Baba was just living because there was no one else to do the seva of the deities. But then one trust built this temple. But they had no deity. So they were looking for a deity to put in the temple. So someone told them that there's this beautiful self-manifested deity just in a closet. So they asked him, and he was so happy. After 60 years in this closet, Gopijana Ballabha, maybe 70 years in this closet, Gopijana Ballabha will finally have a temple. So he came here when the temple was built. And it's somebody else's temple, somebody else's trust. but he was just the pujari. And very, very soon after, because the trust would supply another pujari, as soon as he saw that Gopijana Ballabha had a house, and he trained some other pujari, someone would take care of him. As soon as he saw that the Didi Seva would be taken nicely, he gave up his body. A young person will serve the Didi better than me. So he had no reason to remain in this world. When we read about the qualities of selfless service, when we read about the principle of servant of the servant of the servant, when we contemplate actual humility of the heart, Sri Gopijana Ballabha empowered him to be a very wonderful, wonderful example of that. But only a few people in the whole world ever saw him or knew him. He was just totally an unknown person. But his life and soul, his prayer, were that people would just come to see the deities. Probably no more than 6 or 7 different people a month would come to see his deities. But anybody who came, it would be the joy of his life to serve Gopijana Ballabha's friend, his special invited guest. So I think today Ghanashyam Baba is very happy that all of you have come to see the beautiful forms of his beloved Lord. And what a mystery life is. That at the time, I was just insignificant little beggar sleeping on Bank of Jamuna. And I've been given the wonderful fortune of now helping to bring 1,000 devotees for the darshan of Gopijana Ballabha. Our beloved Srila Prabhupada was truly the embodiment of selfless service. Srila Prabhupada left Vrindavan. He left his beloved Radha Damodar.
He suffered heart attacks, strokes, poverty, seasickness, persecution, to give us Krishna. Srila Prabhupada told us that he saw us as the representatives of his Guru Maharaj. And how he served and gave his life to give us Krishna. It is by Srila Prabhupada's selfless compassion that my insignificant self has been spiritually sustained and nourished to whatever extent there is, year after year. It is by his selfless service attitude based on pure love that is sustaining all of our spiritual lives. And actually, it's Srila Prabhupada. His act of such humble devotion, even to wretched, materialistic people, that has brought all of us to Vrindavan. It is actually Srila Prabhupada who has fulfilled the spiritual desires of millions of people throughout the world. And even it is Srila Prabhupada who has actually fulfilled Ghanashyam Baba's great desire that thousands of sincere souls will come to take the blessings of his beloved Lord. So we should know with great faith and conviction that his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the ultimate manifestation of the highest teachings of the Vaishnava scriptures, has given us everything. He has given us everything. He has given us the complete, unadulterated mercy of the Parampara. And what is he stressing? He puts such great, great emphasis on the spirit of service. Throughout his lectures, throughout his books, and manifested by his life, how much emphasis he has put on developing a proper service attitude. What is a service attitude? Service doesn't simply mean doing something for someone else. That is a very superficial understanding. But real service is selfless.
unconditional, uninterrupted by various obstacles that may come in our path. Ganesham Baba longed to go to visit Barsana, Govardhan, Mahavan. But there was no consideration because his service was to his Lord. Srila Prabhupada could have been living here in Vrindavan happily. He probably would have lived to over 100 years old. But he sacrificed his health. He sacrificed the peace of mind of the holy Dham. He sacrificed everything selflessly to give you the opportunity to love Krishna. Mahajano yena gata sapamta. Prabhupada taught us this principle and lived by this principle. It is the principle we read on every page of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Unconditional, selfless service. It is the principle that is broadcasted throughout the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, from the first verse to the last. Unconditional devotional service. Without ego. What is the pleasure of the Lord? What is the pleasure of his devotees? What is my duty to him? Prabhupada knows. The will of the Lord comes through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. His Guru told him to spread the holy names all over the world. It became his life and soul. Doesn't matter. What obstacles, what inconvenience. Doesn't matter whether it brings life or death. Because he had that selfless, humble attitude of service, all of us have been saved. The doors to the spiritual world of Goloka have been opened to millions and millions and millions of people. Trinadapi sunichena taror ibasi hishnana amanana manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told us to string this verse on the thread of the holy name and to wear it always. It is our life. We can evaluate how we are successful by how we are pleasing Krishna. And we can evaluate how we are pleasing Krishna by studying our hearts, our intentions, and our words and actions in relationship to this teaching. Trinadapi sunichena taror ivasi hishyana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To be humble like the straw in the street, tolerant like tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. If we live by this verse, then we can actually follow Prabhupada's teachings and broadcast the glories of the holy name
always. Today is the last day of our yatra. This is the last meeting we will all have together. The purpose of this yatra is not sightseeing, not just to come to a holy place and get sick and become purified from that, which I hear many confirmations of this. The purpose of this yatra is to inspire us to dedicate our lives and soul with a selfless service attitude. To serving Srila Prabhupada and his mission. Because he has given us his life, and his life's contribution to the parampara was the society he created. If we are not grateful to him for saving us, will Krishna be pleased with us? However knowledgeable we may become in various high topics, will Krishna be pleased with us if we are not grateful to his pure servant who sacrificed his life to take us out of the ignorance of Kali and give us the path of perfection? So let us pray here with very sincere hearts that through this wonderful yatra we have participated in over the last 16, how many days? 15 days. That we may pray that this wonderful yatra we have participated in for the last 15 days will bring us a much deeper sense of dedication, humility, to really do whatever we possibly can to assist Prabhupada in his mission of pure compassion. And following his teachings, to humbly serve the Vaishnavas, to help give his compassion to the suffering conditioned souls, by reading his books, by speaking from his books, by distributing his books, by helping in what other way? And ultimately we should pray that we can sincerely, wholeheartedly understand the importance of chanting the holy names and making it the first priority of our lives. The more love we have, the more love we can give. That love comes when we gratefully serve those who has given us so much. And we can really reciprocate with Srila Prabhupada by taking shelter of the holy name, because that is the ultimate gift that he has given us. Prabhupada wanted us to remain united, to cooperate with each other in spreading the glories of the chanting of the holy name. I wish to thank all of you very much for your outstanding service to the Vaishnav community during Srila Prabhupada's disappearance festival. It was a feast for my heart to see all of you serving so nicely. What a great benediction that was. To have the opportunity to perform the sacred service of giving prasad to Srila Prabhupada's followers from all over the world in honor of Srila Prabhupada's disappearance festival. I think some causeless mercy has descended upon us. I think because all of you are so very, very sincere in your efforts, Srila Prabhupada has rewarded you by giving you the chance to serve his devotees. We must be convinced, not only theoretically, but practically, that happiness is never in acquiring the illusory mirages of this world. Real happiness can only come through service, through giving. Thakur Bhaktivinoda said, "The sufferings and miseries I endure in my service to Krishna are the source of my greatest joy." Getting prestige, popularity, followers, getting money, beautiful family, nice home, good health. These things give a very temporary, superficial, external sense of happiness or pleasure. But in service, even if none of those things we just stated are there, in service, we gain actual inner satisfaction. Let me ask, were you happy in seeing how blissful all the devotees were getting served prasad? Who do you think was getting more inner joy? Those being served and eating? Or those fasting for so long and rendering service?
Huh? Would you have been happier sitting there eating? This is Prabhupada's mercy. This is really Srila Prabhupada and Sri Radharani's mercy, that we can understand this principle practically, that our real happiness is in sacrifice of service. And the more that service is unconditional and selfless, the more it is a service of love, of pure love. It is that pure love for Krishna that every soul is longing for, and nothing can replace it. We must long for that love. But we have no qualification. We're so far away from that standard of unconditional love. But if we serve sincerely, with humility, and we're desperately, desperately, desperately trying to chant the holy names properly, then Krishna will see our efforts. Like that little sparrow trying to dry up the ocean. When Krishna sees we're sincere and determined with the right purpose, he will bestow that love upon us through the mercy of Guru and the Vaishnavas. Actually, your service to the devotees during Prabhupada's festival will perhaps give faith and happiness to people all over the world, even those who are thousands of miles away when they hear about it. It is preaching. If we become proud, we have served nicely. Then that pride neutralizes the effects of the great benediction we received. But if we feel ourselves unqualified, but grateful for the causeless mercy that I was allowed to serve amongst other Vaishnavas. Soon, Krishna will bestow the prime benediction of pure love within our hearts. So I know all of you work very hard to do this. And on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, and on behalf of all the leaders of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and all the devotees who have given their lives, I very gratefully thank all of you very much. Let this be a lesson of what is of real value to the heart. I'd like to also thank all of you for your incredible enthusiasm throughout this festival. Many of you have gotten sick physically, and of course, many thorns in your feet, much dust in your lungs. But still, I didn't hear anyone complaining. Everyone is just trying to get purified and trying to help all the other devotees be happy in Vrindavan. And especially thank you for tolerating me. I honestly and sincerely do not know how you do it or why you do it.
but you do it. And that is some special magic of Srila Prabhupada. If you can somehow or other see his eternally resplendent divine mercy through a little piece of garbage on the road like me, that is his inconceivable power. So I thank all of you very, very much. And pray that when you return to your homes, you bring the real spirit of Vrindavan, selfless service, and the longing for complete attachment to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. And complete determination to glorify them by hearing and chanting their holy names. I want to especially offer my gratitude to Malati Devi Mataji. She's so humble. I learned so much. She's one of the senior most disciples of Srila Prabhupada in the entire planet. She's one of the few people who had excessive personal direct service to Srila Prabhupada in some of the most intimate surroundings of Prabhupada's mission. She's fearless. She's absolutely determined. Despite inconceivable health problems, she just never gives up, never complains, and never wants any credit. Just happy to be amongst the devotees. My deep, deep gratitude to Malati Mataji for all she's done and all she's doing for Srila Prabhupada and all of us. And to Rasleela Mataji, who has performed a very difficult service of maintaining a marriage in the age of Kali in the Western world for so many years. This is very, very outstanding preaching. And in the process, to raise a child, Gauranga Kishore Prabhu, raise a child who loves Krishna, loves to preach about Krishna. Good fruits come from good trees. Thank you, Mataji. And to Nartaki Mataji, is she here? Such a humble devotee. How much she really has such deep, deep attachment to Krishna, to hearing about Krishna, to speaking about Krishna, to being with devotees of Krishna. She has truly been blessed very deeply in her heart by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And this yatra, we had many wonderful souls come and join us and speak to us. Amongst them, the shining jewel of all Brajbasis has come to be with us today. Dinabandhu Prabhu. What would be Vrindavan Yatra without Dinabandhu Prabhu? His spontaneous devotion
and his enthusiasm to preach the glories of Vrindavan Dham through his incredible knowledge and realization is always a profound inspiration for us. At the same time, you know, he's very much involved in performing great sacrifices in Prabhupada's service to make the Vrindavan temple what Prabhupada wants it to be. So my gratitude to you, Dinabandhu Prabhu. I learned so much from him. I hope you are all happy. If you are happy, then my insignificant life has served some noble purpose. So I am grateful that you have given me that. Srila Prabhupada ki.